From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian president permits to Kalimantan's custom figures about new capital city. Indonesian foreign affairs minister encourages ASEAN partnership to increase relations multilateralism. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a dialogue along with a number of community leaders, custom figures, and religious figures of East Kalimantan on the sidelines of his work visit to East Kalimantan on Tuesday. In the dialogue, President Joko Widodo expressed his permission to move the capital city of Indonesia to Kalimantan. On the occasion, the custom and community figures welcomed the president's visit and hoped the construction of the new capital city can be conducted immediately. I asked for permission that after the decision to relocate the capital, we want to enter Kukar or Kutai Kartanegara, and the leaders will come and invite us to start the construction. But earlier, there were a number of proposals regarding the construction of universities. I think that's not a problem. It has become part of our plan. President Joko Widodo explained before the community leaders that the plan of the new capital city's relocation has been implemented through a quite long time study. Even the plan related to the relocation had existed since the President Sukarno's era and keep existing in every leadership of the next president. President Joko Widodo hoped the removal of the capital city does not only move the government's office or buildings physically from Jakarta, but also transformation of work culture, work system, and national mindset. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, in the 14th Asian-European Ministerial Summit in Madrid, Spain, encouraged the increasing connectivity and strengthening multilateralism. Minister Retno Marsudi said in a press release on Tuesday that Asia-Europe had to get more increase their sustainable connectivity. In the plenary meeting of ASEM Ministerial Meeting, Minister Retno emphasized two things. Firstly, strategic outlook in creating sustainable connectivity, especially in an era of uncertainty. From experience in Southeast Asia, the ASEAN strategic outlook has assisted ASEAN to create ASEAN society that is bound by the values of dialogue and cooperation. The values have become foundation for initiation of ASEAN Outlook on Indo-Pacific, or AOIP. Minister Retno Marsudi added that Asia and Europe must strengthen strategic outlook, which promotes collaboration of inclusive and open economy, as well as mutually beneficial paradigm. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi and Foreign Affairs Minister of Kazakhstan Mukhtar Tilloberdi met on the sidelines of the 14th Asian European Foreign Ministerial Meeting, or ASEM-FMM, to discuss the efforts of the two countries in seeking opportunities of cooperation in economy. Minister Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia and Kazakhstan noted the increasing of significant trade value from $60.3 million in 2018 to become $370.85 million in January to October 2019 period. Minister Retno said that many cooperation potentials of the two countries need to be explored, among others in the field of air transportation, banking, halal industry, agriculture, energy and strategic industry. Furthermore, the minister hopes Kazakhstan's support as initiator member of Eurasian Economic Union, or EAUU, towards forming initiatives of free trade agreement Indonesia-Eurasian Economic Union. Cooperation within the EAU framework is expected to further advance the regional economy, particularly in Europe and Asia. The increasing of children and women protection in various sectors become the focus of President Joko Widodo's attention in the second period of his governance. Children and women are vulnerable to the treatment and acts of violence, so that it needs special attention and efforts to protect them. It was stated by Deputy Minister for Women and Children Protection, Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Cultural Affairs Gafur Akbar Dharmaputra after a diplomatic forum talk show, which was conducted by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday.
Intinya, Presiden itu minta perlindungan perempuan dan anak.
The point is that President asks children and women protection becomes the focus of attention. Why? The protection of children and women issue is not only because it's gender or women, but we have to pay attention on human rights. Therefore, children are not allowed to work. It is because they are still underage and children must go to school. Furthermore, Gafur Akbar Dharmaputra also said besides protecting children and women, Indonesian government also keep encouraging socialization on marriage based on law number 1/1974. He said that preparing excellent human and female human resources is a must through various educational programs. Ambassador of Azerbaijan to Indonesia Jalal Mirzayev on Tuesday visited RRI Yogyakarta's office and received by head of RRI Yogyakarta Retno Desi Swasri. In his visit, the ambassador was also interviewed by Prosatu RRI Yogyakarta. Ambassador Mirzayev talked about his meeting with Governor of Yogyakarta Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X at the Sultanate or Kepatihan. The ambassador and the governor agreed to conduct meeting annually.
An opportunity to meet His Majesty. My impression is quite extraordinary. We had the versatile conversation. How can we promote Azerbaijan in the province of Yogyakarta? And vice versa, how can we promote the province of Yogyakarta in Azerbaijan? So we have delivered our positions. So we have some points to be elaborated further, as I said. So, and we have agreed upon also to meet annually to discuss what can we do for the benefit of our two countries.
Ambassador Jalal Mirzayev also said in the meeting with Yogyakarta Governor Sultan Hamengkubuwono X that there is a desire, especially from Sultan, in order to establish sister city between Yogyakarta and one of the main cities in Azerbaijan. Indonesia's nickel export restriction will help local industries produce raw materials and its derivatives, such as lithium batteries, in the country. The Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, explained, "This is the government's move despite the European Union, or EU, had filed a lawsuit over the ban to the World Trade Organization. Nickel derivatives would increase the commodity's added value by millions of US dollars while employing Indonesia's workers. Minister Luhut remarked during his working trip to Tanzania, East Africa, that minister would like to mention that 89% of Indonesian nickel is exported to China, while Europe's share is only at 2%. It means Indonesia has not been dictated by China to ban nickel export. The Indonesian permanent representative in Geneva, Switzerland, stated that the EU planned to file a lawsuit over Indonesia's nickel export restrictions with the World Trade Organization. In a letter sent on November 22, 2019 to Indonesia's government, the European Union had requested a consultation session to the World Trade Organization to settle the dispute. The National Police of Indonesia and the Palestine Police Force are joining hands to tackle transnational crimes such as terrorism, illicit drugs, and cyber crimes. Indonesian police will send its officials to share knowledge and best practices on tackling crimes to their counterparts in Palestine. The National Police Chief of International Affairs, Inspector General H.S. Malta, said in a statement received in Jakarta on Tuesday. Malta said that the two delegates have agreed to ink a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, of the partnership in 2020. Following the signing, the Palestinian Police Force will send its officers to Indonesia to receive tactical training aimed at improving its capacity to battle transnational crimes. Apart from the partnership, the two delegates also discussed Palestine's preparation after joining Interpol. Listener, that was the news.
Today's commentary is on U.S.-China trade war settlement. Entering the last days of 2019, the world received encouraging news about the United States-China trade war. U.S. President Donald Trump claimed there had been an agreement with China. Trump's remarks can be a good sign of easing tensions between the big nations, which have been fighting in a trade war for 18 months. The U.S. and China, as Donald Trump stated, have agreed to make agreements in the field of energy and other manufacturing goods and cancel the penalty rate. Although the two sides have not yet officially signed the completion of the trade war, various positive comments have emerged. From Beijing, Chinese Deputy Trade Minister Wang Shuwen stated that his country would import more wheat, corn, and rice from the United States. The U.S. government trustee Robert Emmet Lighthizer told Reuters news agency that China would buy $32 billion worth of agricultural products in the next 2 years. Trump's and government officials in Beijing statements became a strong signal about the decrease in tension between Beijing and Washington. Indeed, this is only a sign because until Wednesday, December the 18th, there has been no confirmation of the signing of an official agreement by the two countries. After all, what is developing between the United States and China, although not yet official, can be said to be the first phase of a trade agreement between the two countries. In order for the trade war to truly end, further agreement is needed. Hopes for the next phase emerge from Donald Trump's tweet on his Twitter account. Washington asked Beijing to buy more U.S. agricultural products for further negotiations. This means that there will be a further stage before the United States-China trade war is really over. What policies to be carried out by the two countries, of course, still have to be waited for. Both Washington and Beijing must still discuss agreements on intellectual property, financial services, and technology. Especially with regard to intellectual property rights, it is a sensitive matter that must be discussed carefully. During this first phase, it is very likely that new surprises will emerge that could have an impact on the global economy. In this perspective, it cannot be denied that the role of these two big countries in the global trade economy is very significant. Developing countries with a medium economic level must continue to be vigilant and fix their respective economic fundamentals. Well, that was commentary today on U.S.-China trade war settlement. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, I'll begin with December the 18th, 1946, the birth of Steven Spielberg. Steven Alan Spielberg was born on December the 18th, 1946. He is a director, screenwriter, and film producer from the United States. He is considered one of the founding pioneers of the new Hollywood era and is seen as one of the most popular directors and producers in film history. He has received 3 Academy Awards and 1 Lifetime Honor Award. Throughout 4 decades of his career, he has raised various themes in his work. Science fiction, an adventure theme film titled Jaws in 1975, Close Encounters of the Third Kind in 1977, Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1981, E.T. and the Extraterrestrial in 1982, rated as the archetype of modern Hollywood film production. His films were then more about humanist themes such as the Holocaust, the transatlantic slave trade, civil rights. Turning to December 18, 1973, Islamic Development Bank is a multilateral development funding agency located in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The company was founded in 1973 by the Minister of Finance of the Islamic Cooperation Organization, OIC, with the support of the King of Saudi Arabia at the time. The bank began its activities on October 20, 1975. There were 56 member countries of the shareholders. On May 22, 2013, the Islamic Development Bank has received 3 times the profit from the authorized capital and can serve Muslims in member and non-member countries all over the world. I'll end with December the 18th, 2000. International Migrant Day is celebrated for the first time. International Migrant Day was established through the United Nations General Assembly on December 4, 2000. The background is the large and increasing number for immigrants in the world. On December the 18th, 1990, the General Assembly adopted the International Convention on the Protection of the Rights of migrant workers and members of their families. International Migrant Day is celebrated in various countries, governments and non-government organizations through the dissemination of information about fundamental human rights and political freedoms from immigrants. The day is also a moment of sharing experiences related to the issue of migrant protection. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Tanya, kau malah geram. Takkan sengaja aku buat dirimu marah. Namun kamu menghilang, tinggalkan diriku sendiri mencari dirimu, oh kasihku. Sendiri berpikir apa salah. Sendiri. Oh, yeah. Kalau ada maunya, jangan seperti itu. Tak ada manusia yang dapat tahu apa pikiranmu. Ku tahu engkau tak merasa seperti itu. Pantas
kamu menghilang, tinggalkan diriku sendiri mencari dirimu, oh kasihku. Sendiri berpikir apa salah diriku, kemana hilangnya dirimu. Ku jadi sendiri, mencari dirimu, oh kasihku. Sendiri berpikir apa salah diriku, kemana, kemana hilangnya dirimu, hilangnya dirimu. Hey! Ku jadi sendiri, hubungi semua teman-teman,
teman-temanku.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia, entitled Supporting Global Foodborne Public Works and People Housing Ministry Develop Dam in Lampung. Public Works and People Housing Ministry kept increasing new dam development in some provinces across Indonesia to support national water and food resilience. One of the provinces to have more dam is Lampung. In the province, two dams will be built, namely Waisa Kampung Dam in Prinsewu and Marta Tiga Dam in Marta Tiga District. Minister Basuki Hadimulyono, in an official statement in Jakarta on Sunday, said water resource and irrigation management will be continued to support sustainable agricultural production. Minister Basuki said the three dams will also have raw water, energy, flood control and tourism, which will increase local economy. The two dams will complement water management system, including irrigation supply from Batu Tegi Dam that had been operating since 2005. Waisa Kampung Dam has 68 million cubic meter capacity to add around 15,000 hectares of irrigation in the Sekampung irrigation system to be total 70,000 hectares in total. It was expected the planting intensity can be increased 200%, mainly for Prinsewu Regency. The dam will also provide raw water for Bandar Lampung City, Metro City and South Lampung Regency for almost 2,500 liters per second, with 5.4 megawatt power potential. The dam can reduce flood amounting to 185 meter cubic per second and becoming tourism object in Prinsewu Regency. Marta Tiga Dam is under development with capacity of 148 million cubic meter in the downstream of Waisa Kampung River. It is projected to water irrigation land for almost 11,000 hectares and is raw water source with 830 liter per second capacity. Besides Waisa Kampung and Marta Tiga, there have been Seguru and Jabung dams, all were built to optimize waste Sekampung River water, which has great potential, especially for irrigation. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Depan nanti dengan tak
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I invite you to visit Tomohon City in North Sulawesi Province. Tomohon City is one of cities in North Sulawesi Province. Since a long time ago, the city has been written in some historical notes. One of them is an ethnographic work, Priest and Grafland, who wrote about a country, namely Tomohon, that was visited by him around 1850 by using Queen Elizabeth's ship. Tomohon is one of regions which is included in Tombulu ethnic. This ethnic is one of 8 Minahasa ethnics. Through a long legal process and considerations in the framework of accelerating the nation's development for the welfare of society widely, the regional government of Minahasa, along with Regional Representative Council of Minahasa, recommended people's aspiration to establish South Minahasa Regency. Tomohon City and North Minahasa Regency, which is supported by North Sulawesi Provincial Government. The people of Tomohon City have customs and culture called Mapalus. Mapalus, which means working together and helping each other, has been rooted and entrenched among them. The culture is still preserved up today. The beautiful city is also called as the City of Flower. Its fertile land makes almost all types of flower grow in the city. A village at Tomohon City also becomes the main tourism destination. It is Bunga Hamlet. Bunga Hamlet, located at Kakaskasen Village in North Tomohon District, is the initial location of floriculture development of Tomohon City. From the center of Tomohon City, the distance is 3 kilometers to the Bunga Hamlet. Surrounding area of the village, there are many hotels and resorts with beautiful view where there are 2 volcanoes, Lokon and Mahau. At this location, you can see and enjoy various kinds of potted ornamental plants and also flowers which are managed from generation to generation and placed at kiosk and also offered to visitors. Growing or selling the flowers is the way to earn a living for the local people. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Menutupnya kembali. bagaikan kabut kelabu. Di sabana pencarianku, bagai embun pagi, kau lepaskan dahaga kemarau. Untuk senjaku, kaulah selaksa bunga yang warnai musim semiku. Di kala hati ini gundah, kau membuatnya menjadi cerah. Matahariku dan kaulah samudra, tempat hatiku bermuara. Kau jawaban dari doaku yang akhiri penantian. Bagai bintang jatuh, kau hadirkan harapan di dalam hati. Kaulah deburan ombak yang pecahkan batu karangku. Kaulah gugusan yang hiasi malam gelapku. Di kala hati ini gundah, kau membuatnya menjadi cerah. Kaulah matahariku dan kaulah samudra, tempat hatiku bermuara. Tempat hatiku bermuara.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Lessons in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is memberi kabar or giving information. Next is a conversation about memberi kabar, or in English, giving information. The conversation is between Tony and Heru.
Halo.
Halo Heru, apa kabar?
Baik, kamu?
Aku juga baik. Oh iya, aku sudah tiba di Jogja tadi siang.
Oh ya?
Iya.
Wah, selamat datang di Jogja. Kamu menginap di mana?
Aku menginap di Hotel Mutiara.
As usual, after the conversation, I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Apa kabar? Apa kabar? In English, how are you? Kabar baik. Kabar baik. Good or fine. Aku juga baik. Aku juga baik. Me too. Kamu apa kabar? Kamu apa kabar? How are you? Menginap. Menginap. In English, stay overnight. Kamu menginap di mana? Kamu menginap di mana? Where do you stay overnight? Aku menginap di Hotel Mutiara. Aku menginap di Hotel Mutiara. In English, I stay at Mutiara Hotel. A common conversation that is usually used to know the condition between two persons are Heru. Hai, apa kabar? Or hi, how are you? Tony, baik. Kamu? I'm fine. Heru, aku juga baik. Or I'm fine too. Tony, siang Bu, apa kabar? Or good afternoon, Mom. How are you? Sinta, baik. Kamu bagaimana? Or I'm good. How about you? If your condition is not good, you can answer in accordance with your conditions. So let's listen to the example. Tony, halo Sinta, apa kabar? Saya sedikit pusing. Tadi malam saya kurang tidur. Oh, sudah minum obat? Belum. In previous conversations, when talking to Sinta on the plane, with flight attendants and with a receptionist, Tony always used the word saya. But when Tony talked to his friend, he used the word aku. Example, Tony, halo selamat malam Heru, Heru. Hai Tony, apa kabar? Tony, baik. Kamu? Heru, aku juga baik. Tony, oh iya, aku sudah tiba di Jogja tadi siang. In Indonesian language, there is a substitute for the first person that is usually used, namely saya or aku. When you talk to someone you respect, with an older person, with someone you just know them, or when you speak in a formal situation, use the word saya. However, when you talk to your friends, you can use the word aku. While for the second person pronoun, it is usually used the word anda or kamu. The word anda is usually used for formal situation or in letters, while the word kamu is only used with friends or with small children. And for the third person pronoun, it is usually used the word beliau or dia. The word beliau is only used for people who are respected, while the word dia is used in general. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio. Hopefully, this edition has been helpful to those who want to know about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week for more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Berjalan di gelap malam, langkahku pun tertatih. Telah membeku hatiku ini, rasanya kau takkan tahu. Untuk sejenak ini ku akhiri, namun rasa cinta tak ingin berlalu. sadari betapa sakitnya aku karena kamu, karena kamu cinta matiku. Bagaimanakah kisah cinta kita? Terasa sedih, ingin ku tangisi, dan
listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, here is a song from Karo, North Sumatra, entitled Ngarep Gestung Abibas Lau. The song means expecting nyala api dalam air, that depicts expecting impossible thing. The lyric tells about her expression that has been tired with his or her relationship. In spite of being sick, his or she decides to separate than expecting impossible thing. Listener, here is a song entitled Ngarep Gestung Abibas Lau by Vicky Sianipar featuring Tio Pantapinem. Happy listening!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.